This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game Midday Show, Andy and Randy, Trillville Thursday. Final hour for us. Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com. We'll get back into the big story of the day in just a couple of minutes from right now. Some college football conversation in about 20 minutes. I know Brandon Adams joins the show on Tuesday, and we always do a little UGA, a little college football in general with him. But some interesting comments Tuesday night from the Georgia Athletic Director, and then also that the info that they put out there about the revenue sharing, like the amount of money that's going to be shared, where it's all going to be going, and who's going to get it. Pretty good stuff. So we'll get there in about 20 minutes.
You know what's crazy? Because we do the rejoin. We have to, like, what we're going to do the next show.
Right, yeah. Like that promo thing.
That promo. Yeah. And I did it yesterday. I was like, Joe Patrick. I don't think Joe Patrick's going to be on it. And when you said it, I was like, what the hell is Joe going to? Yes, Joe is moved to Friday.
Yeah, no, he did what Joe does.
Joe big time. Real quick, Andy, the salary cap is final, it's going to be $279.2 million per club. All-time record,
because the projection was between 77 and 81,
yes.
So closer
yes.
to 81.
So it's going to be 279.2. That just came out. And Daniel Jeremiah, who we both love, his mock at 15.
All right.
Falcons taking.
With the 15th overall
Michael pick. Williams.
Hell yeah.
But the funniest one is something that you said last week.
What?
With the 32nd pick, the Philadelphia Eagles select Malachi Starks.
Malachi Starks. You think he'll be there at 32?
I don't think so.
Hang around at 32?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. But if that's a damn case,
then just give him the trophy.
Yeah. Because they're another Georgia player.
They've cracked the code.
They're another Georgia player. All right. So now.
Really is funny that they just were like, you know what? That football program is good. They got a bunch of good guys. We could just draft all them.
Why not?
And then it worked.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous.
That's the thing about it. It worked. But,
so ridiculous.
So now you kind of know if you're the Falcons, it gives you a little bit more, okay, what we're going to have to spend.
Yeah.
What do we have to do? Because the first priority for all 32 teams is, who on our roster do we need to re-sign?
Yeah.
All right? Who do we need to re-sign? Then you think about, well, how do we get there? So then you're like, well, who do we got to release to get to whatever. But the first thing you want to do, because there's nobody in the NFL who has more work to do than the damn Bengals as far as the free agency part about it.
Right.
Because they got three guys. And they already promised one.
Already promised one.
All right.
And
they kind of promised two.
And he's going to ask for every bit of it.
And he better.
Yeah.
And he
deserves it. Jamar Chase, the best wide receiver in the NFL.
So you need to go from that standpoint because their GM or whoever it was, he was talking about, yes, you don't have to keep telling me. I know we have the franchise tag. All right. Okay. The franchise tag will go to T. Higgins again.
Okay.
I do think that.
Okay.
Now you got to figure out the whole Trey Hendrickson thing. I'm just so interested to see with the Bengals how they structure Jamar Chase's contract.
Because what you always say, people maybe don't know this.
Yes, they guarantee for all non-quarterbacks, they only guarantee the first year. All right. Now, if they're going to guarantee the first year, that means his damn signing bonus is going to be just straight stupid.
If he's going to agree to that,
yes.
then his first year haul
yes.
is going to have to be
$85 million.
Yeah, like close to $100 million.
Yes, because I know
like quarterback yes, level. Because
like
that,
like kind of like what happened with Lamar. Lamar's first year, Lamar got like $80 million or right. something like that.
Now, that's not all against the cap yeah, because yes. of the signing bonus you yes. can prorate yes, and all that. Yes. But yeah.
Yeah, so interesting to see how that goes.
Or, and I know that, you know, whatever, they've done it the way they've done it the whole time they've done
they've
it.
They've always done it.
They could change the way they do it.
No.
You know what I mean?
You know how old folks are.
I know.
And Paul Brown's an old ass dude.
Yeah.
And he ain't changing.
No.
Why I gotta change? This is my team.
And it's worth all this money.
It's worth all this money.
This money so.
Why don't you just sell it?
That's my thing.
Yeah.
If it's too expensive to do it, sell it to somebody who can.
Right.
Because you're going to get a nice chunk of change. I don't know how much you bought the team for or whatever it was when you inherited Dude. Or however you got the money or
Dude,
got the
look
team.
At this, man.
You're going to make a nice chunk of change.
I'm going back because they just print out the chart of the growth of the salary cap.
Uh-huh.
I'm going back to when I played. The salary cap my first year in the league was $71 million.
Wow.
Yes.
And that's not that long ago.
Yes.
That's 2002?
Yes. $71 million when I my first year in the league.
Wow.
Then 75, 80, 85, 102, 109, 116, 123. Lockout year. Then it drops to 120, 120, 123. So, yeah. Wow.
So it's $200 million higher yes. now than it was when you were in the
yes.
league. And, I mean, it's not that – I mean, you've been out of the league for like 10 years.
Right.
A little more than that. But it's not like that long ago.
Yeah, man.
When you see that – what are the few things that go through your mind?
Damn mama. I'm glad Angel McMichael is my mother, and I would never in my life trade him. But damn, you could just wait 10 years. Because I was coming anyway.
Yeah.
My embryo, it was hanging out. You know, I was in that egg, chilling. So, I mean, this guy was going to be born whether it was a 79 or 89.
You're going to be born hard.
Yeah, I was going to be born hard if it was
whenever it was.
79, 89. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is one time I wish I was the little brother and my sister. Because then my sister.
You could switch.
Me and my sister are exactly 10 years apart.
Yeah.
And so, if Kendra could have been born in 79, I could have been born in 89. I could have got some of that. Could have got some of that. Yeah, man. But I mean, I was going to be born regardless. I was up in mama. I was the one. I was in the tube.
Yeah, I mean, there was a tight end.
Yeah, it was a tight end in the fallopians. So I was going to be born regardless. You know what I'm saying? So it didn't matter. It didn't matter if it was 78, I mean, 79, 89, 99. Randy was going to be out. You know what I'm saying? I was just hanging out, chilling. I was in there, dog.
Wow. Both eyes just crying.
Yeah,
oh my God.
Yeah, I was going so it didn't really matter. But
you know. It all worked out too.
It did. It did. It wasn't like.
Oh
but don't get me wrong. We were blessed. Don't, you know,
sure.
Yeah. We were blessed beyond need. But still, I was like, damn.
But I just hang on. I got to write. How do you spell fallopian?
I don't know.
All right. Let's get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Oh God. Brought to you
damn.
By QC Kinetics, non-surgical
joint pain. I hurt my own neck.
Hawks have it with Trey Young in the backcourt.
Oh
now
God.
He gets the pick. He goes up and gets around it. Trey way out there on the left wing. Now behind the pick. Straight away three by Trey. It's good. Trey Young knocks down a three-pointer.
Ugh.
And the Hawks lead 82-79. For Trey, that's his 161st of the year.
And if you went to bed right then, then you made the right choice.
I did.
Because that was pretty much the last good thing that happened for the Atlanta Hawks last night. The game was tied at 94 with like 3.5 minutes left in the third quarter. And then one team kept playing.
Yes.
And one team stopped playing.
Yes.
And Miami went on just a ridiculous run to finish that basketball game. It was tied at 94. It ended 131-109. They scored 15 points for the rest of the game.
That's all they did, man.
Or 25, whatever. They hardly any. And the Heat scored a bunch. They made a bunch of threes. Davion Mitchell couldn't miss. Duncan Robinson couldn't miss. They shot 55% from three last night. The Heat did, which is ridiculous. They were so They scored 50 more points last night than they did two nights ago when the Hawks played them. So, yeah, there you have it. Not a great performance from the Hawks.
No. But it's going to be the kind of season. How many more games they got, Buck? 27?
Hey, let's do. Is that what it is?
So I don't. I'm somewhere.
27 plus 30. Yeah, 27.
27? Mm-hmm. That was a good guess.
That was a good
guess. I'm just saying, this is going to be. This is how this.
No, 25.
25?
25.
This is going to be like this. All the rest. These 25. It's going to be like this. These 25 games, and because and the talent's not there, you don't have enough good players. You have some good players, but you have a lot of young good players. Trey's going to do what Trey does. 23 games.
So that's even less.
That's even less. So Trey's going to do what Trey does. We understand that. Other guys got to come along. I just need to see more from Bruce Shea. Six shots last night, and then he was 4 of 6. So,
yeah.
Dude, shoot some more. Go 4 for 16. I mean, shoot the daggone ball. But right now, I mean, they're going to – what's the word you use?
Slog.
Slog.
Yeah.
They're going to slog the rest of the season.
It's going to be a slog.
That's exactly what
it is. It's going to be a slog. Unfortunately, look, it's probably going to be a slog that ends in the play-in round. Hopefully you can get in. I mean, that's the – you're still hoping for that, right? Like
yes.
You get in, and then I guess you play the Cavs probably in the first round.
Mm.
Bad matchup for the Cavs.
What's the bad matchup for the Cavs?
Hawks.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I was like, I thought you had some
nope,
stats.
I got nothing. The Hawks have actually done well against. They beat him a couple times this year, but that's Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then the other player is on their
team,
too.
DeAndre Hunter played for the Hawks.
He's on their team and everything like that.
But don't underestimate George Niang revenge games.
Yeah, you don't want to do that because one thing we know about Niang, he going to shoot it.
You know what
he gonna shoot it
earlier this week?
He's going to shoot it.
It's true, but it still was kind of messed up. My buddy, who's a big Cavs fan, texted me, and he was like, hey, cool you guys got Niang. And I was like, no, that's not the end. That's not the end. I was like, oh, yeah, pretty cool, I guess. He said, that's you if you achieved your peak at basketball. He was like, if you had hit your ceiling as a basketball player, that would have been you. And I was like, that's probably true. Obviously, I was never going to be that big, but, like, that's all I was. It was just a kind of slow shooter who didn't defend. Yeah. But that was kind of mean, right?
I think the one thing, if you're buddies or friends or whatever, I think you always should always be honest with each other.
Yeah, that's honest right there.
I would have told him to go blank himself.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I wasn't that good at basketball.
You weren't good, Andy.
I was okay.
Yeah.
I was okay until everybody started growing.
Stop putting on your – I've seen you shoot a basketball.
No, but like in seventh grade, I was pretty good. And then everyone kind of hit that growth spurt, and dudes are doing windmills. Like Brandon Roy's at middle school basketball practice doing windmills. And it's like, what is this game now?
You just didn't have the spring that he had.
Yeah, so then I just started passing it to Brandon.
There you go.
And we almost won the city championship.
There you go. And you
almost.
Know, and you know what?
Second
you would you would have had a vital role on that team.
A lot of assists to
yeah,
Brandon.
Yeah, exactly. You need assists.
Here, take it.
Yeah, he can't do it by himself.
Shoot it. No, that's the whole point. That was the whole game plan. Give it to Brandon and get the hell out of the way. It was a good game plan.
Yeah, he couldn't do it by himself.
We just couldn't beat Asa Mercer Middle School.
He couldn't pass it to himself.
He would have if he could have.
If
he could have inbounded it to himself, he would have. Sometimes he'd throw it off the back of the guy that wasn't looking.
No, he was like that.
Catch it and slap on people.
He was real disrespectful.
He was so good.
Real
he was
disrespectful.
So good. He's the most athletic guy I ever saw. He blew his knee out junior year of high school. And
he came in.
He was still incredible. He was first, maybe not first, but second team all NBA, all that kind of stuff. That dude, when he was like 16, before he hurt his knee, it was stupid. He could do a windmill in slow motion in the air. Like he would jump up and be up there for so long.
And then, he had all the girls, huh?
He's kind of weird looking. B-Row wasn't the most handsome fella. Good basketball player.
Yeah, see, you had him. You were handsome.
I was.
Yes.
I was. I was popular with the ladies. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk a little college football coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. This hour brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com. 20 minutes away from the AMA. We'll get the phone lines open at 404-726-0929. All the lines are working again, so Easy to get as many AMA calls in as possible yesterday. We'll do the same thing coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. But haven't really checked in. We've done a little bit on like the meetings that the Big Ten and the SEC folks were having down there in New Orleans and some of the rumors that were coming out of that as far as expanding the playoff and automatic bids and stuff like that. But some interesting stuff earlier this week. Now, obviously, there's been a lot of conversation about canceling or even schools saying directly that they're not going to do spring games anymore. We had talked to Brandon Adams and others about G-Day, and Josh Brooks came out earlier this week and said, no, we're going to do it. We're going to do it this year. It's something we value. Hopefully we can keep doing it. It's a year-to-year thing, whatever, as everything is in college football right now.
Did he say year-to-year?
He did.
Okay, so this will be last year.
But maybe. I think the thing that can save it, though, because I think maybe I'm the last one to the party on this one. Like, maybe I just and blind and didn't realize what everyone was getting at when they were talking about canceling the spring games.
Mm-hmm.
It's not wouldn't be the first time, but I didn't buy the idea of injury prevention. I guess maybe that's part of it. I didn't buy the
why. This injury prevention crap.
I don't think that's what it is.
Just in any sport, mm-hmm. when we talk about, and I'm going away from this, but anything like injury prevention. When we talk about injury prevention in sports, how can you prevent injuries?
You can't.
You can't.
I mean, you cannot play.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But my thing is like, you
which
know,
is kind of what they're
which
doing.
Is kind of what they're doing. Exactly. Yeah. But anyway, go back to you.
We've said this a lot.
It just irritates me.
It's the least sports playing era of sports.
Yes.
We're trying to get rid of as much sports as possible when sports are as popular as they've ever been. But here's what it is, and I didn't think about this, but here's what it is. And this is so much prevalent right now in this era of college sports, college football specifically, is when you do a spring game, you do a depth chart. Guys know where they fall.
Yes.
And then there's a transfer portal right afterwards. So, like, you know, all right, so you come into the spring game and you guys are playing a mildly competitive, a game like that. There's at least score kept and guys are out there competing. Well, I was the third string corner that day. So that means that's where I fall.
Right.
That means I better leave because right. I want to actually play. Yeah. I hadn't thought about it like
right.
that. I understand that if you don't actually do a game and you do practice differently and you just do it OTA style, mm-hmm. then you don't have to tell anybody where they stand and you protect yourself at least a little bit from some of the spring transfer window. I think that's probably what it is. But again, this gets back to a fix that we've talked about the whole time is you got to have to fix the transfer rule.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
It can't be a free-for-all the way that it is. Like that and conference realignment are the two biggest issues that college football is facing
it ain't the
right
money.
Now. No, the money's fine. It's coming in. The money's okay. They're dealing with that. Now, guys, I mean, again, transferring is a way to get more money.
Yes.
It's probably the best financial choice for you to go to four different schools in 4 years if you're one of these big-time guys, because then you can get schools negotiating against each other to try to maximize your earning potential. Maybe that changes a little bit with this revenue-sharing thing. We'll get to that in just a minute. But, yeah, I mean, that's what it is. They're saying that they don't want to do it, so they don't have to tell the kid where he stands in spring. You string them along, and schools do this. We're not naming a starter. It's a competition at this position. And you don't tell them until it's too late, so you don't run the risk of them transferring. That'd be great if guys just wouldn't transfer, but they're going to.
They're going
so
to.
You have to try to protect that.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what
I think,
is.
You know, the last, and I'm probably wrong, and I'm sure Rusty might be out there. The last time they didn't have a spring game, I know it was when I was there because they were redoing something up there. I think that was. What,
you guys didn't just do it somewhere else?
No, we didn't have. We had practice.
Okay.
We did what these coaches are talking about doing at
right.
the Buttsmere.
People didn't get to come.
Only people that had to come was our families.
Got
and our family got to go
got
up to
it.
The Buttsmere and go out there and watch us practice and everything. But you know, I think you know the thing with the money and the allocations and all those different things. Because I remember when this first started, I was like, people were like, oh, players are going to get jealous and then they're going to leave to try and get more. I said, nobody's studying that, man, not realizing these are.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
yeah,
not realizing
exactly
for
happening.
A second. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So here's my question. Here's my question. Because the report came out earlier this week that Georgia's going to spend $20.5 million mm-hmm. in payouts
mm-hmm.
from the revenue that they make.
Mm-hmm.
The athletes at the University of Georgia mm-hmm. are going to get $20.5 million. 13.5 of that go to football.
Right.
The rest goes other places, basketball and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to talk about that today.
Mm-hmm.
But the $13.5 million that go to football. I don't know how many guys there are on scholarship. I know scholarship limits are going up with this, whatever. But just for the sake of easy math,
uh-huh.
say there's 100 guys on scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
Is that $135,000 each?
Hell no.
Okay. So then who?
Hell no.
Who decides? Because that's like basically now, that's why I guess a lot of these schools are hiring literal general managers to kind of come up with some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. But like that's where you get into that, right? That's when you get into, all right, so we have $13.5 million salary cap, quote unquote.
That's because that's what it is.
That we're spending.
Because that's what it is.
Kind of. But then there's the NIL money that's unregulated and different and all that kind of stuff. So, all right, so we got $13.5 million. I'm going to give the quarterback the most, probably.
You would think.
I would think, right? But then he's also got the NIL money that he's getting, too, I would think, unless Gunnar Stockton's saying no to it.
Well, no.
Because he's a man of principle.
No. Gunnar Stockton is a man of principle.
He doesn't want
Gunnar Stockton don't want a new Bronco. Gunnar Stockton don't want no money.
Yeah.
Gunnar Stockton don't want that.
He wants to drive that 1984 F-150 forever.
His ass better not get no new car. That's all I know. His ass better not. Get no new car as much as everybody tried to come at me. Oh no, Red, he's old country boy from up there in the mountains. He don't need nothing. All right. I don't want to see no dad. No, I want to see oil leaks in his parking spot.
Have people driven up there, by the way?
It's very nice.
A lot of new F-150s up there.
Yeah.
A lot of them. Like everyone.
Yeah.
Everybody's got one.
Yeah.
Or a Dodge Ram or something.
I just want to see.
They're all huge.
Yeah, I just you know. That was they told me, Andy. It's old good old country boy.
So anyway,
I had to go fishing and hunting.
That's
better not get no new rifle either.
You better not.
Or a new bow.
Or a new fishing rod.
Right.
You'd be out there in that old whatever. All right. But how do you do that? Like
as far as distribute the money?
Yeah. Like that. That's a whole new thing. That plays into this. That plays into that jealousy. Because then you tell them that people know. Is any of this public?
You know, like, Now, how much players make? As far as NIL and whatever they get from this thing right here, I don't be knowing, Andy, I honestly don't know what numbers to believe sometimes. Because you're just like, damn, dog, you could just be throwing out numbers and all that. So I don't want to get caught up in that. Now, this part as far as like how much the players are making from this allotment, how they tell each other.
Yeah.
They probably tell each other.
Yeah.
Or so, hey, dog, hey, because this idea, hey, what you get? Oh, shoot, I'm going to add 700,000 in. You know what I mean? Like, kick out. Well, they're talking about giving me 500. Yeah. I'm going to ask for the 750. That's how that
Which they should do, by
that's,
the way.
That's how that usually happens. But
I think the more everybody knows, honestly, in that situation, probably the better, because then you can negotiate properly. I know it's hard to talk about the NIL stuff, but I think the more public the NIL money is, the better it is for these guys.
You think so?
I do. Because if I know that this guy's getting this much money, then I have more negotiating power to get that much money, too.
Right.
I just think it benefits you. It might not benefit the team, but it benefits me in the market.
I understand, but to know how much you are getting. What was one of the first conversations we had on this show about self-awareness? You might think you might need that, but you ain't good as him.
True.
You see what I'm saying? True. And so then you're at a standpoint where I'm leaving it. I'm now knowing that you might not get that nowhere else.
Right.
But the thing about it is your ass might jump in this damn portal, be stuck in the damn portal because you're overvaluing your market.
Definitely. That's a part of it.
Overvaluing your market worth.
Yep.
And so, I mean, again, I don't know who.
I just think knowledge is power in that realm.
If knowledge is power, and there wouldn't be so many damn kids in transfer portal. They don't be having no damn knowledge.
No, but I don't they think just they have
go.
Any knowledge.
They just want to go.
That's what I mean, though. Like, I think actually knowing might help a little bit in some of these cases.
Oh, I agree.
If I'm trying to negotiate my best deal. How can I, where's my starting point even? You know what I mean? How do I even know where to start if I don't know what a similar player at my position is getting? You know what I mean?
But yes, I understand what you're saying with that.
That's why the NFL is so great because it's all public. Everybody knows.
I'm pretty sure that the starting defensive end for Georgia ain't getting the same amount as maybe Ohio State. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Or Texas or something like that. I think a lot of it might come down, especially if you talk about going to Georgia, because I just want to go to Georgia. I know that this school, I know Georgia's going to give me $800,000. But I know that this school right here is going to give me $2 million. Now, I want to chase that $2 million because it's a lot more.
Right.
But is the situation better football for me?
Right. And I think that's a factor that I hope weighs heavy. I doubt that it will.
I doubt it.
You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
Like, It would be awesome to sit there and say, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to get maybe twice as much as that other school. It's not as good of a school.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have as much of a track record of sending guys to the league. I'm going to develop better here. Maybe my numbers aren't going to be. I mean, we have literal example of someone that this offseason, right? Yep. Like a very good defensive lineman for Georgia saying, yeah, I want numbers and money, so I'm going to go someplace else. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas like, no, but these guys, they put defensive linemen in the NFL every single year. Now, you'll probably go to the NFL from that other school too. Probably still going to be given similar opportunities, whether you're there, here, whatever it is. I just, if that's their plan, and I'm not saying that is Georgia's plan, but that, if that's a school's plan of being like, well, we're going to lean on our culture because mm-hmm. people want to be here.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a long offseason.
You might not be.
You're going.
But you might not be as good.
But see, But the thing with Georgia is this. Georgia just lost out on this kid. Before the Ohio State ended up in Missouri.
Right.
For whatever
That's
amount
the kid
of,
we're talking
for,
about.
Yeah, for whatever yeah. amount of yeah. money. Could Kirby have maybe matched with Missouri?
Probably.
Probably.
I mean, but Kirby, I don't know.
But I think that Georgia could have matched
it. Yeah, probably.
But I don't even know what he got. But I think that Kirby's looking at it from a standpoint is if you keep setting these precedents
exactly.
with these kids.
Yeah, that's right.
If you keep setting these precedents with these top players, yeah. like, well, can you match it?
Yep. Every time you do it,
every time
the
you
next
do
it, one
the
is harder.
The next one is going to be there. And yep. the next one, and the next yep. one, and the next yep. one. Then you're going to be in a situation where you're like.
yeah. You have to say no.
You got to.
Yeah.
You got to.
You have to say no sometimes.
And then the
Even
thing
if it's a guy you really want.
Yeah, but the thing about Kirby is Kirby has the culture. Kirby has the team. Mm-hmm. Like, hell yeah, I wanted that dude. That dude ain't going to prevent us from winning no damn championship this year. He would have helped, damn it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, you just have to be right about
that,
too.
Yeah, but you got
to
be right.
You know?
And I'm going to trust Kirby.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm going to trust Kirby.
That's the thing. I mean, we talked about this with Brandon Adams earlier this week as far as the Mike Bobo stuff goes. Like, Kirby's got the leeway to make decisions and maybe do stuff slightly differently than other people would or whatever. But he's built the benefit of the doubt for a real. I don't know how long it lasts because it is called.
Right.
And eventually, like, you know, people were ready to kick Dabo last week.
Yes.
He's got two, or not last week, last year. He's got two national champions. But, like, yeah, you just have to be right.
Mm-hmm.
Just like anything in life. But, like, yeah, you have to say no
you
to these guys
just,
sometimes.
Yes, you have to.
It's going to get to a point where you're just kind of like, you're like a mark, basically.
What it got?
It's like this guy. Oh, just keep asking for more. He'll give it to you.
Yeah. What is it? Kirby's meeting with the players. No, Kirby's being.
He's
like,
being extorted.
He's been extorted.
yeah. He's being. So Kirby has to be like, no, I'm not.
No.
I'm not being extorted.
Yeah.
You're going to stay here for this money if you want. Here's what's going to happen for you, by the way.
Yep.
Look at all these guys.
Yep.
Winning Super Bowls.
Yep.
Playing in February.
Yes. And have a chance to compete. I know the school you're going to is an SEC school. You think they're going to win a ring?
They're not going to beat us.
They're not going to beat us.
They're
not going to beat us with you.
Yeah, but I'm going to have 13 sacks and they're going to give me $2 million.
Damn right.
Which also is a great argument.
Damn sure is.
It's a great argument. It's hard to say no to any of it. All right, we'll get the phone lines open coming up next. 404-726-0929. Call us up. Ask us anything. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brought to you by Right From The Heart. RightFromTheHeart.org, the AMA to wrap the show up every single day. Any question, any topic. A couple phone lines available if you want to jump on. 404-726-0929. We'll start with Kenny, who's in Kennesaw. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I got a quick question for you. As a young adult, my first college football game I ever watched was the 2006 Fiesta Bowl, you know, with Boise State and Oklahoma.
Yes.
And I don't know, I fell in love with college football since then, but my question is, what's the most memorable college football games that for you guys?
Okay, great question, Kenny.
We were just talking about.
Yeah,
I remember my first ever, like, when I fell in love. I've always liked college football, but when I fell in love with Georgia, obviously I wasn't being recruited by them at all because I didn't grow up a Georgia fan.
Mm-hmm.
But
who are you a fan of?
I really wasn't a fan of college.
Okay,
I just like different college. I like more college players than mm-hmm. anything. But when Georgia went to Auburn, it was the first multiple overtime game, and I remember they benched Bobo, they benched Robert. PK was starting to running back, and God, was it Ursay? Whoever starting quarterback. And, like, they were stinking. And then Coach Donnan put Bobo, and he put Robert back in the game. It was like a 5-overtime game. And I'm sitting there at home watching. I was like, oh, man, I want to go to Georgia. Or maybe I want to go to Auburn. didn't have no scholarship
sure.
offers or net from
how,
nobody.
How old were you at that point?
I was in, like, 10th grade.
Okay, so, yeah. Grade. Yeah, still a ways away from college.
Yeah, and I think, cool. I mean, I played in one of the most memorable ones. So I would always say that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I just remember as a young kid, New Year's Day, it felt like Washington played in the Rose Bowl
right,
every year.
Right.
Because 3 years in a row from like ages you know, 8-10, whatever they did, and beat Michigan and co-national champions and all that stuff. I mean, the game that stands out to me as the most memorable game that I've ever watched is probably everybody's, is USC and Texas in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Like, that's just one of the most incredible football games I've ever seen. Georgia and Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl,
yes.
Also incredible, and I was working here at the time, so super fun to talk about that game. We were just talking about the Georgia-Alabama game from last year. There was a lot of classic football games. Have I ever told, I think I've told you this off the air, I don't know if I've ever said it on the radio before, that Fiesta Bowl 06 is still a real sore subject for me, because this was I'm in college at the time.
Right.
All my buddies are home from their various colleges, so we're kind of all together hanging out, don't get to see each other all that much. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I want to watch Boise State and Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl.
Oh, you deserve it, yeah, yeah.
And they were like, well, we got Jackass 3 on DVD. And I was like, well, great, so we'll have that all night.
Right.
Or we could watch a football game and go do something fun.
Right.
Because we all just turned 21 recently, whatever. But they were like, no, we want to watch Jackass. Oh. So we watched Jackass 3. And then after the movie was over, highlights of the Fiesta Bowl are being shown on television.
I would have attitude, dog.
Dude, that's why you shouldn't have friends that aren't sports fans.
Yeah, I would have that.
I got a lot of, like, really close friends that don't care that much about sports.
Right. We can't be friends.
Yeah. We've all fallen out of touch over the years. They don't even listen, you know. It's like, oh, what do? I host a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it on the app. Oh, what's it about?
Sports.
You wouldn't like it. We're not covering Jackass 3.
Jackass
3. Yeah, no, it still really makes me mad. I didn't get to watch that game live. Makes me mad. Walter's in Atlanta. Hey, Walter.
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good.
Good. So, Andy, it was a while back you did an interview, and we talked about your Washington guys going, you know, playing against Michigan, basically.
Uh-huh.
My question there is, you know, what are your predictions about these guys this year? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you see them playing out this year? And, two, the fact that you got Michael Penix, who was on that team, now down here playing with the Falcons.
I mean, I don't know what the context of what I had said was, but, I mean, Washington definitely got smoked by Michigan that day. The only good thing about not winning the national championship that year was it wasn't particularly close in that game, you know? If we played those guys 10 times, he might have beat them once or twice. I think Braylon Trice is going to be really good as long as he can stay healthy. It's hard, though, now, you know, a year out of football, and it was a knee injury, right? So that's tough to come back from. But Braylon Trice is a really good player.
He really was.
Really good at getting to the quarterback and, you know, hopefully be a complimentary part of the Falcons' defensive line. I think Penix is going to be great.
Why wouldn't you?
Better be.
I think that's the most important. I think that's the most important thing.
There's kind of a lot in it, a little bit though, just because, like, I obviously want him to be so good so many different reasons.
But because he went to Washington.
Oh, of course.
We talked about it.
He's
your favorite player.
He's like one of my top five favorite college football players of all time.
Yeah.
And now he's here, and it's so cool that we get to cover him. And he's here, but like. It's going to be so hard if he doesn't play well.
Yes.
Because it's going to be hard. I'm just going to make excuses.
It's going to be hard on you if he doesn't play well, but it's going to be even harder on you if they don't play well around him.
Oh, yeah. Like, if he's really good, but then they don't build around him,
he's going to be losing it.
But, like, if he, you know, because it's hard to be a good quarterback in the NFL.
Yes.
If he just kind of turns out to be only okay,
that's
going
to be hard on
him. I'm going to lie.
That's gonna be, oh, yeah. Oh, no, no.
Lie in my ass.
You thought it was an interception? No.
I think the guy ran the wrong route.
Yeah.
Now, again, the interceptions he did throw, those weren't his fault.
That is true.
At the end of the season.
That is true.
Kyle Pitts threw it to the other guy. But every interception he ever throws for the Falcons, I'm going to talk about it like that.
Yes.
I'm like, Kyle Pitts' fault. Threw it to the other guy.
Or defender made one of the greatest plays you've ever seen.
Yeah, or who could ever see that coming?
You got to tip your cap. There's an incredible interception.
All right, Tobobby is in Atlanta. Hey, Tobobby.
All right, so my wife is a little bit older than me. And Randy, I know your family loves to do karaoke. I myself love to do karaoke to embarrass my wife.
Okay.
So in public, when we're out, I like to do songs about older women. She don't really like it. But what's your favorite thing to, not necessarily, we're not going to pull a Mo and publicly embarrass our lady.
Sure, right.
But
sure.
What's your favorite thing, you know, just mess with her a little bit, maybe around family and friends, and just, that's mine. I like to poke at the fun of, she's a cougar.
Okay.
Okay. Like to poke fun at a what?
Let his wife's a cougar.
Oh.
She's probably like 8 months old.
Yes, or something like
or
that.
Something like that, yeah.
I try to think.
I mean, I love making fun of my wife, just the two of us.
Right.
Like giving her a hard time and making her laugh and all that
kind
of stuff.
Right, right. I always do that. One thing I stay away from critiquing my wife around other people.
Yes.
Because I don't like when she does it to me around other people.
Yeah, no, that's just good, solid marriage advice right there.
Yeah, I'm like, hold on. Hey,
maybe in private.
Hey, Shawty. if I hit that with her, then she know. I'm like, hey, Shawty. Hey, Shawty.
A private conversation.
And she be like, it's a private conversation.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Never mind, guys. It's like, hey, Shawty. That's all I just say, Shawty. Hey.
I'm trying to think of the things that I do, like, to give her a hard time in front of her family, though. Because, like, you know. She still does stuff now as an adult that she did then.
Right.
And the thing that probably is the most consistent is she's just, like, fiercely independent. Like, don't help me. And that's how she was, obviously, as a kid, too. Her mom's always, me do it was her favorite phrase as a kid.
Done with that. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, go for it.
Yep. That is me right now. I'm that when I am. I am all the way. Well, go ahead, Dan.
Yep.
And then you hear this loud-ass crash. All right, you hear a loud-ass crash, and then you got to go upstairs and look at your ass. I told you it was too heavy for your ass to do it by yourself. But you know what? Go. Because the thing about it is, you wanted me, when you said it needs to be done, you think I was supposed to pop my ass up, put my beard out. When I finish my beard, I will come do it. Not her. Not her little shot ass. I got to go to the ladder now, baby. It's one thing to go up a ladder. It's another thing to have to carry something up a ladder.
Well, that adds a level of difficulty to it and danger.
Just hard-headed as hell.
You ever throw the very subtle, instead of if you need me, the when you need me?
Oh, that is a little subtle.
Yeah.
I try not to do that, but probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Just let me know when you hit a dead end. You know, I'll be in there. But yeah, that's what it is. It's making fun of all that. No, I don't need any help on that one. Okay. Be my guest. Steve's in Atlanta. Hey,
can
Steve.
I get some over-unders on that?
Hey, Steve.
Hey, so as dads, what would you rather your son do? Hit a walk-off home run, Game 7 World Series, a winner in the Game 7 NBA Finals, or a 90-minute winner World Cup Final?
Oh, wow.
You said what I what?
Okay, as a dad, what would you most want to see your son do? Walk-off home run, Game 7 of the World Series. Like 90-minute goal winner, World Cup final.
Okay,
that'd be pretty special.
Okay,
or the game winning shot in Game 7 of the NBA Finals.
Probably the World Cup because he won it for the country.
Yeah,
but then
because our kids are Americans.
Yes, our kids are American.
So that'd be the first time they ever did that.
Yeah, but more than anything, which one of the sports makes the most money?
Probably.
Are the Saudis involved yet?
Yeah, who makes the most money?
It depends on where you're playing, right? Probably the NBA.
Yeah.
Right? Max contract.
Max
you
contract.
Don't necessarily have to be a max contract player to hit the game-winning shot.
Yeah.
God, I don't know.
It's got to be the World Cup.
It's got to be the World Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a global.
Nick Foles is a legend in Philly.
Right.
That's cool.
Right.
But like.
No.
When if you're playing in the final for a country in the World Cup. You're also playing for a huge
club
and making a ton of money.
But,
and then you're a global superstar if you make. Yeah, so we'll go soccer. We'll go World Cup final. Jack's got a I haven't seen it in person yet. Just saw the picture. I showed you.
Yes.
Guy's got a shiner.
Yeah, man.
Looking like he got in his first fight today.
Yeah.
He got in a fight with gravity, but
yeah, but it
looked
happens.
Like he won though.
No, he didn't. Face he made that picture is so funny though, because he looking like
Yeah, he looks like exactly.
Yeah, he looking like
he's tough.
He's tough, and you should see the other guy.
That's exactly what I texted my wife. She texted me the picture. I was like, you should see the other guy.
That's exactly what he looks like too. That picture.
Turned out the other guy was just the counter.
I mean, he does look like that.
Fell on his face.
He looks like that.
And then she texted because, like, they called her.
Uh-huh.
Or she called me. She's like, hey, Jack, I guess had a fall. I don't know how bad it is, you know. And I was like, let me just tell you.
It's going to happen.
This is the first of many, many, many calls we're going to get about that young boy.
Yes.
He is just
he's
an absolute
man.
Maniac.
He's a wild man.
So,
wild man.
I'm happy he didn't break anything
yet. Until he start jumping off stuff.
He's going
to. Until he start jumping off stuff. Like, is there a reason why you're up there? Oh, you want to just jump off? Boom.
All right. Royal Rumble starts right now.
Whatever.
All right. Max is in Atlanta. Hey, Max.
Hey, guys. Got a quick hypothetical for you. again about dads and sons. So okay, starting tomorrow, all things taken into consideration, for the next 10 years, would you rather be Tiger Woods or Charlie Woods?
Oh, the next 10.
Wow.
I think over the next 10 years.
Charlie's in a lot less pain.
Yes. Yes. I was going to say that. But in the next 10 years, Tiger's going to make another $200-300 million, right?
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah, definitely.
And I won't be playing golf. My bike will be fine.
In the next 10 years.
Charlie might still be an amateur.
We're going to find out.
Yeah. Like, how old is Charlie? Charlie's with
15 or something like that? Something like that. Yeah, but I mean, by the time he's 25, we're going to know.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure on that young man.
Yeah, man, I take that 100-something million and date as many hostesses as I can.
Yeah, Tiger's single, right?
Yeah, I date as many hostesses. Yep.
Yeah.
Anybody that says table for how many? Me and you, boo. Table for two for me and you, boo. Hell yeah. If I'm Tiger.
Yeah, I'd rather be Tiger for the next 10 years.
Next 10 years? Hell yeah.
Definitely.
Hell yeah. Table for two for me and you, boo.
Joe is in McDonough. What's up, Joe?
Hey, a couple things. A, what's the best radio call in Seattle sports history, Andy?
Oh, okay.
And Randy, I'll give you the same one in Georgia. What's the best radio call in Georgia sports history?
Oh, goodness gracious. I mean, anything that Coach Mr. Munson said, we stepped on their faces.
What a hobnail boot.
With a hobnail boot. Oh, my goodness.
And that's like, that really probably is the answer.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even though you're biased.
I'm
always
biased.
You were responsible for the whole drive.
Yes. But,
it really is.
It's my favorite. I know people love Run Lindsey Run, which was also great.
Okay.
Sid Bream sliding.
Sid Bream sliding.
Hobnail boot.
But I would have gone with that one too.
Yeah, that's the one.
Hobnail boot. Come on, man.
Best one in Seattle history is probably when Griffey scored.
Yes.
And
I would think so.
Comes around, like Dave Niehaus set it up absolutely perfectly. I actually have the printout of what he said in like a poster my wife got me for Christmas years ago, framed at the house.
Yes.
And it's just like
the greatest about that.
My oh my, it just continues.
And when
it's a great call.
When I just love that slide because how Griffey slid and how he popped back up.
Yeah, and he jumps up. And the first person there to greet him is A-Rod.
It was awesome.
Because A-Rod was on deck, which is crazy.
Dude, unbelievable.
That team A-Rod, Griffey, Randy Johnson, Edgar Martinez, all these Hall of Famers. Couldn't even make it to the World Series, let alone win it. Couldn't even make it. Couldn't even make it. Anyway, that was a great phone. That was a great call by
and
Dave Niehaus.
And Sid Bream's call was awesome.
Rest in peace to Dave Niehaus. All right, let's get to to Larry Munson. Let's get to
we
takeaways
stepped
of the
on their
day.
Faces.
You know what mine is. You go ahead and go first.
Andy assisted in the rise of Brandon Roy.
Yeah, I had a lot to do with it. I think he'd probably credit me with a lot of his success. didn't matter what year Randy was born, there was a tight end in those Fallopians.
Damn right it was.
That's what I had to.
It really, of all the funniest stuff that you've ever said on this show, I don't think I laughed harder than I did at that.
I never put you in two eye tears.
Both
before.
Eyes, yes. Multiple tears.
Yes,
God, that was very funny. Hey, so tomorrow, Happy Hour Friday, Smoke and Joe Patrick, new time.
Oh yeah,
12:20.
We sure?
As far as I know.
Okay.
Unless Joe changes his mind again.
Yeah.
What a diva.
What a guy.
Real locker room cancer, I would say. Anyway, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 11 a.m. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Watch out now!